This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ugalo at Grace Baptist Church Eldoret on Sunday the 26th July 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. Though churches are allowed to begin meeting under strict guidelines, we haven't opened our doors yet. As we observe the developing situation for one more week, God willing, we will begin our corporate worship on Sunday, 2nd August 2020. Due to those changes, I will not be able to continue with audio recording these sermons in this format, since the preaching will be done and audio recorded during the service itself. If you have benefited from these sermons and would like to continue to receive them, then please do correspond with us and we will try to find a way to help you. Better still, you are most welcome to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church Eldoret. We are within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats. By way of introduction to my sermon today, let me say this. When temporary rules are announced, they come to us as an inconvenience or a shock. For example, when coronavirus pandemic struck, then schools were closed. Churches were shut. Nairobi and Mombasa, among other counties, had their lockdowns. And so now we've got to wear masks and keep distance and so on. Now these are temporary rules. But they are there for our good, to save lives. Now, the Lord Jesus, in this passage we are going to see today, speaks of an important temporary rule, but which, if ignored, would lead to peril. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. I want to read this passage, Matthew 10, verse 5. And I'm calling today's sermon very simply, that Jesus sends out his 12 apostles. Jesus sends out his 12 apostles. This is the reading of God's word from verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belt, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on that day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the reading of your word, but we need to understand it. We need then to know what it means to us. So help me, Lord, as I seek to open it up and to apply it in our lives, that we may then know and walk on your way. Oh, Lord, please, once again, help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one worthy to be obeyed, worthy to be believed, that we may have life. Please hear us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In last week's sermon, Jesus has called to him 12 men who are each very different from one another. Just for example, Peter, we saw something about him, a very unsteady man. James and John were brothers who are hot-tempered. Philip, on the other hand, was a man full of questions. While Bartholomew, or the one we call Nathaniel, was a man who is known as, he was quiet and devout. On the other hand, we've got the doubting Thomas. But at the same time, we've got Matthew, the tax collector, and therefore he was a sympathizer of the Roman government. But in the same company, then we meet Simon, a member of a rebel group who was anti-tax. Oh, what a group. Surely at the end we can just say this. The person for us to observe and focus our attention upon is Jesus, the greatness of Jesus. See his power, the power with which he could gather these men and save them and then change them. And now he is ready to send them to the mission field. And so, friends, as we move on then, looking at this passage, I have 3 points that will guide us. And I'll try at the end of each point to draw out some application for ourselves rather than waiting all the way to the end. And so, in the first point, let's see this. Where were they to go and why? Where were the 12 apostles to go and why? And we see that in verses 5 to 6. And really, the first thing that meets us when we ask the question, where were they to go and why? First, they were told where not to go. Neither to the Gentiles nor to the Samaritans. The word Gentile is a general term for non-Israelites. But more specifically, Samaritans, or the word Samaritan or Samaritans, were people of mixed descent and equally mixed religion. You can very helpfully read about them in 2 Kings chapter 17. Verse 24. We could read that, but we don't have the time. But 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. Now, these Samaritans, the little in summary we can say about them is this. They were especially ignorant of the religion of the true God. They were so ignorant. Hence, you would remember in the New Testament, the Samaritan woman who had a conversation with Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 22. And there, particularly, the Lord Jesus says this, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." You see, Jesus tells his 12 apostles, "Don't go to these people."
Why? Why?
You see, Jesus would be telling them, "My first priority is to the lost sheep of Israel. They have been harassed and frustrated by their so-called spiritual leaders. We must first reach them and seek to draw them to the Savior." Now, this command of Israel first is to be understood as temporary. It was a temporary law, temporary rule. Time will come when the Lord Jesus will send them out to go into all the world with the gospel. Not now. Now, this has something to show us, something to teach us here. This temporary command is in line with Matthew's gospel, where we see his urgency. Remember, I mentioned earlier about the way as he presents his message to us. Matthew is so urgent, and he does not waste words. He wants us to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And so we see something of this urgency in pleading with the Jewish people to turn to Jesus, to see him as the Christ. Matthew is telling the Jewish people, think of your privileges. All the prophets and the priests were sent to you. And not only that, but when the Messiah arrived, he thought of you first. Oh, you Jewish people. This was demonstrating before, you know, everything else. He was showing you his great love, his great power, his great compassion. Oh, Israel, Israel, can you ignore all this? Can you? No, surely you must not. And so that is where the 12 apostles were to go. Not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans, but to the lost sheep of Israel, that they may see something of the power, love, and compassion of Jesus Christ upon them. In the second place, what were they to do and how? What were the 12 apostles to do and how were they to do it? And of course, that we see in verses 7 to 8. Verses 7 to 8. And basically, the Lord Jesus is telling them, as you go, you are to keep declaring to the people that the rule of God, who is in heaven, even though he has always been in power, he now is beginning to experience in a unique way, in a more powerful way than before, his work among you. You Jewish people, God is coming in a unique way among you. Always he's in heaven, ruling above and doing all that must be done. But there is a special way he's coming to you now. No wonder it is said, the kingdom of heaven has come, or the kingdom of God. Now, don't just tell them that and stop there. No, then go to demonstrate with what power this has come. And therefore, you are to relieve people of their sicknesses. You are to bring back to life the dead. You are to cleanse those who are ostracized because of leprosy. You are to command demons to relinquish their hold on people. And keep doing these things. Now, did they succeed? Did they succeed in these powerful things that the Lord Jesus is saying they should go and do? Did they succeed? Well, the obvious answer is this. Yes, they succeeded. Many passages of scripture. But if we turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 verse 13. And we find this. Mark records this. As he says, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And then verse 30 of the same chapter, verse 30, we read this. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Yes, they succeeded in the things that the Lord Jesus directed them to go and do. But just before finishing that point, the Lord Jesus adds a very important instruction, very important, and he tells them this, don't judge anyone for your work. You received freely, give freely. Don't charge anyone. Let it be free. In other words, dear friends, representing Jesus among the people in this manner is a high calling. This is a high calling. And so, when he calls you into this position, he says this, don't use it as a means to enrich yourself. Don't use it as a means to become rich, to make yourself a name. No. And yet, as I point out that, isn't it true? Isn't it true, dear friends, that so many have used the gospel for financial gain, for enriching themselves, making empires, some form of kingdoms for themselves? They've become filthy rich when they have received it ever so freely. So the warning of the Lord Jesus stands till today, and we need to pay heed to it. And such preachers who have just turned the preaching of the gospel as a means of gain must be rejected. Well, so in our second place we have seen, what were they to go and do and how? But in the third place, what were they to expect from the listeners and why? What were they to expect from their listeners and why? And that we find in verses 10 to 15. And the Lord Jesus is basically telling them this. As you go, engaged in this task, don't carry money bags. Now, we need to understand that in those days, money was measured or given in terms of gold and silver and copper coins. And so one really needed to have a kind of a special bag that would carry this, because it was then going to be heavy, to be weighty. And so one needed then a kind of a bag. But the Lord Jesus is saying, no, don't carry such a bag for such monies. No. Equally, he tells them, don't carry a suitcase of change of clothes. And don't carry extra shoes. Now, why these tough rules? Why? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ denying them things that ordinarily people would carry as they go on journeys, on safaris, and on such important tasks? Surely, there are at least two reasons why the Lord Jesus gave these two tough rules, or three or so tough rules. And there are two reasons. One, reason number one is this: God will provide. God will provide, that is, provide their needs. Now, in line with the scriptures, if we think of Matthew, you can turn please now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And when we read Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 to 34, I will read just portions of that passage. Portions of Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 all the way to 34. Various portions read like this. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And then we can also see Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, chapter 22 of Luke, verse 35, and we read this. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or no, knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. So it is true, the Lord will provide. So that's the first point. They were given strict rules not to be worried over things and carry along various things. The Lord will provide. But secondly, there's a second reason closely tied to that first one. You see, the reason they shouldn't carry any bag of money or suitcase for change of clothes or even extra shoes is this. There is an obligation upon those who will be listening to you. Let me come through that again. There is an obligation upon those who will be listening to you. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. This is what we read in Matthew 10:10. The laborer deserves his food. Or in a different version, the worker is entitled to his support. Please note that the wise Master Jesus has first warned the apostles in verse 8. Don't be greedy. Don't use this ministry as means of enriching yourselves. That is verse 8, basically. Then he now declares that your listeners have a responsibility and an obligation to you when they receive your good news. You see, this is supported, of course, by other truths, other passages of Scripture. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And Paul basically raises some questions. And he says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. You see again in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 18 we read this. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages. Oh, friends, the word of God is clear. The word of God is clear, and I just thank the Lord that we are using this method of consecutive expository preaching of God's word. If I chose a passage like this to preach on, most probably someone will be thinking, aha, Pastor Gallo is just now trying to plead with people to give for his support. No, I'm expounding the scriptures. And what are we learning? The things by way of application. There are two things I want to raise here. One, to every listener. And then after that, I will bring something out to every preacher. You see, from what we have seen, to every listener of the gospel, even right now as I preach, please listen. God has given you the obligation to support the preacher of the gospel. It is that clear. It is that simple. God has given you the obligation to support the preacher of the gospel. And oh, my friends, I can speak with genuine certainty that I know of many who have faithfully supported the preaching of the gospel. That I know. And that I can attest. There is a faithfulness in many who, seeing the gospel being preached, they support it with all their heart as the Lord enables them. But having said that, in the second place, let me say, by way of application, so not only to every listener of the gospel, but to every preacher of the gospel, to every preacher of the gospel, God has given the right, every preacher of the gospel, God has given you every right to expect support from those who listen. God has given that right, that you expect support from those who listen. And this is God's word. We did read that the laborer deserves his food, or the worker is entitled to his support. Let me share with you a little testimony, a personal testimony. When I resigned from my mechanical engineering job some years ago, many told me that I will suffer economically. The last institution I worked in told me, if you go and later realize that you have made a mistake, come back and we will reinstate you. Now that, of course, was said to me because they appreciated the work that I was doing in that institution. But my friends, this is the point I want to make from that illustration or from that personal testimony. This is the point. Ever since I became a preacher of the gospel, I have proved utter faithfulness in God's provision through his people again and again and again. As we move forward in this passage, verses 11 to 13, because God will provide for his servants, then they should conduct themselves in a particular way. And God therefore says, basically, don't be choosy, but discerning. Don't be choosy, but discerning. In other words, where you go, and you are received, stay there with contentment and pronounce blessing and peace upon the people. In other words, when you preach the gospel and it is appreciated, be content. Pronounce your blessings and peace upon them. But then it goes on, the passage goes on, and verses 14 and 15. Of course, the Lord Jesus is realistic. And he says, be prepared. Be prepared that the good news you will proclaim and the humility you will seek to demonstrate will not be accepted by all. No. Look at verse 14 and 15. They say, and if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet. And when you leave that house, you know, when you leave that house or town, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable to the on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. You see, listening to God's word, my friends, is a high privilege. It is a high privilege. But if one despises or misuses that privilege, then God will hold them accountable in a serious way. How serious? How serious would that be? You see, the Lord Jesus tells us, think of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God rained judgment on them because of their wickedness. Think of it. And by the way, you can read that in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. Genesis 13, 13. And also the same Genesis 18, verse 20. Genesis 18, verse 20. And then right near the end of the Bible, Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. Those passages will show you something about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did with them. But now, anyone who despises the gospel preached will be considered more wicked than Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, why was rejecting this gospel preached by the 12 apostles considered more serious? Why? Just this. It's because it was the highest demonstration of God's love to Israel. The highest demonstration of God's love to Israel. It's God's good news. Now that through His Son, Jesus, sinners can be made acceptable with God. And therefore, for them to refuse this, surely, is to perish in their own sin eternally. And of course, the Bible goes on to show us that many of them refused the gospel. And of course, this, because they refused the gospel, this led to the temporary removal of that rule. The rule that had been there, which, as I began my sermon, I said, Israel first. Now, that temporary rule was removed. And when it was removed, later, we can understand what it is. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 26, Acts 3 verse 26, the passage tells us, God having raised up His Son, His servant, referring to the Lord Jesus, sent Him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. In other words, the Jewish people had the privilege, had the first opportunity to have the gospel preached to them. And then later in Acts chapter 13, the same Acts chapter 13, verse 46, we read this. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, Jews, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Hence Jesus said, as captured in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. Do you see that? Now, if the house of Israel, who rejected Jesus' good news, were considered as worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and now the gospel has come to you, will you not accept it? Will you not accept it? I plead with you. Do not reject the gospel. Receive this life-changing message that we preach to you today. And you will be saved. You will be saved. You see, to reject this gospel is to face a death many times worse than COVID-19 related death. Yes. Please receive Jesus as your Savior today. Amen.